Good morning. It's your girl, Sharifa Hardy. I am here with Friday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I don't know what's going to happen on this show, but I know it's going to be amazing, and I'm going to have some fun right before I head off to Vegas. Yes, it is time for me to get out the house, have a little fun, see what's going on in the world. Don't worry, I'm going to wear my mask. I'm going to practice social distancing. But right now, I have to socially distance myself from my house in Long Beach and just get away for the weekend. We've had an exciting week, amazing guests. We learned a lot. We shared the show. But before I go ahead and introduce today's guest and today's show, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and share the show. But don't just share the show. I want you to think about who you know that could be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. So if you know authors, entertainers, entrepreneurs, celebrities, business owners, influencers, and you think they would be a great fit for the Roundtable Talk Show, send them to the website at asksharifa.com and make sure to remind them to select be a guest. But while you're sharing the show and you're doing your job, I'm going to go ahead and do my job and introduce our first guest. And our first guest is going to share her exciting story. We are speaking with Miss Shelby Smith, and Shelby is the CEO of Jim W.E. Cricket's Protein Snacks. Good morning, Shelby. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so I messed it up. So I'm Jim and E.
There you go.
Jim and E. What is Jim and E, Shelby?
So if you say that a little faster, the pun starts to make a little more sense. I
Jim and
don't have
E.
a gym. So Jiminy Cricket.
Oh, okay. See, I'm slow. It's Friday. If it was Monday, I would have been right there with it.
It's okay. I'm hoping that it's different enough that Disney never comes after me. So I kind of like that sometimes it takes people longer to catch on to that. But so, yeah, thank you for having me. I am Shelby Smith. I'm the owner of Jiminy Crickets based in Ames, Iowa, and we produce sustainable alternative protein snacks from 100% farm-raised crickets. So I originally played basketball in college out at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia, and then went overseas and played in Ireland, got a master's degree. So I'm an undergraduate and a master's degree in finance, and then started a career as an equity derivatives trader for a Canadian bank there in Dublin. But I found myself really unsatisfied, and so I quit and I moved back to the family farm and started farming with my dad, just normal corn and soybean stuff. And he encouraged me to look at other niche markets, and I somehow landed on crickets. So that was January of 2018 when I bought my first crickets. And since then, I've expanded with a contract grower model. So I actually have eight people that raise crickets for me around the state of Iowa. And then I am now on the shelves at 17 retailers across the Midwest. I've shipped to 43 states since December. It's been an adventure, let's put it that way.
Okay, it's Friday, Shelby. So I might not be as fast as I am on a Monday, but when you say crickets, right, I want to understand this term because it has a lot of letters and it's kind of deep. So when we say crickets, are we referring to the little creepy crawly thing?
We are referring to the little creepy crawly thing. That being said, I will say that with an asterisk of don't go out in your backyard and pick up those creepy crawly things. I never recommend eating wild caught crickets. You don't know where they've been and you don't know what they've eaten. But I do have to ask, do you eat shrimp or lobster?
Do I have to tell on myself? Because I see where you're going with this, Shelby. I see where you're going with it.
Well,
But I like shrimp and lobster.
yes, well, so that is partly a two-part question because if you didn't and you don't because you are allergic, you would potentially be allergic to crickets as well because they are the same family as shrimp and lobster. So if you've ever peeled a shrimp or peeled a lobster, I need you to tell me with a straight face that those don't look like bugs. And if you can, you're lying. They are the same family. So yes, I would call crickets land shrimp or prairie lobster. Just reframe it that way.
See, you had your answer ready. I'm not even gonna lie to you, Shelby. You know what I mean? Because this is recorded. You're gonna hold it against me. No, but I love shrimp and lobster. I never really considered crickets. Maybe it's something that I might look into. I'm not gonna. But how did you decide to come up with a whole business around crickets? Like, that's my whole confusion, I guess.
Yeah, well, so I've always, like I said, I played basketball in college and then played overseas. And then when I eventually hung them up because it was time, I got into obstacle course racing, bodybuilding, powerlifting, all of those things. So being active and all of that has been very important to me. So different protein sources have always been interesting and different nutrition, things like that. And all of the research that I, well, the very limited research I had done at the beginning, entomophagy, which is the eating of insects, is actually a growing market. So this past year, worldwide, it was a $1 billion market. By 2030, it's expected to be nearly 8 billion across the world. So crickets are considered the gateway bug for Westerners. So 80% of the world's countries have insects as part of their diet. So we in the US and Canada and Australia are really the ones that are the outliers and that we don't eat insects. So down in Mexico, our neighbors just to the south, they eat over 400 different species depending on the region.
I'm shocked. I'm just sitting here shocked. I had no idea. I'm not naive enough to believe that people don't eat insects. You know, when who was that? Bourdain was doing all his little travels. I could see, different places, but I can't imagine going to a restaurant here in Los Angeles County and ordering, let me have a tray of crickets. Like, is that where we're going?
Yeah, and it very well could be. We may I'll have to do a quick Google search and see if there is anywhere in LA County that you can go and get them right now. Believe it or not, your best chance for eating insects, I would say, are probably like a taco truck. Sometimes it's very common because, again, like I said, it's very traditional down in Mexico. Capelinas, I don't know if you've ever heard of those. Those are typically grasshoppers, so they're going to be a little bigger, but very similar in terms of taste.
Okay, Shelby, we're gonna come back to you because I have so many more questions, and maybe some of the other guests on the panel have questions for you as well. But you have, oh, this is why I do the show. This is why I love doing the show because I get to learn from everyone, and then I quote things like I know what I'm talking about. I'll start telling people about crickets, and you don't know about crickets because you're not up on the latest phases and fads and trends. See, that's what we do. But I'm gonna introduce our next guest, who is known as a trendsetter. She's a social media influencer, and we're gonna see if Miss Sophie Bowman knows about. Do you know about these crickets, Sophie?
I've never eaten crickets. I mean, I'm open to it. I'm always down to try new things. I'm a bit squeamish about bugs, but I'll do it.
We're gonna do it together, Sophie. We're gonna record it. We gonna do a whole show about how this happened.
We're gonna require tequila for that. Tequila, then I'll do anything pretty much.
Yeah. Girl after my own heart. Let's get that tequila and let's make this happen. But you're a social media influencer. Talk to us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So it's kind of hard to put it all into a short story, so I don't, overtalk everyone. But a few years ago, I was teaching. I wasn't happy. I was too ambitious. I was a special needs teacher. The kids were increasingly violent. I just needed to get out. So I went to stay with a friend in Marrakesh for my 30th birthday. After some day drinking the Medina, put down a deposit on an apartment. I moved there, I think it was 5 or 6 weeks later. And I then obviously needed clients. I didn't want to be earning, Moroccan money. So I set up this kind of, I already had a side hustle doing, like social media, branding, that kind of stuff. So then it was just, a matter of finding retainer clients. So that was really the start of what became, like a 6 year adventure. I lived in Marrakesh for 2 years. I then relocated to Miami, Fort Lauderdale around 4 years ago. It's been fun. So the social media, again, that was another side hustle that I kind of wanted to use as a calling card, you know, because as a lot of you business owners and entrepreneurs will know, there's a lot of cowboys out there. So I wanted to kind of build my own Instagram to prove that I actually know what I'm talking about. And then obviously that, of course, opened up another, you know, lucrative side hustle. I ended up getting sponsored by a lot of brands, actually a tequila brand, which is very important. So that became a whole nother thing, you know, and then I write for Forbes as well, social media stuff and branding and marketing for small businesses in America. So it's all kind of come together in the most sporadic ADHD way. So that's really it in a nutshell.
I know that feeling well. I always tell people, you know, I'm 44. And I say, if they would have had ADHD or ADD back when I was in school, they would have diagnosed me with it, because every squirrel I see, I'm like all over the place. But it makes my life interesting. It makes my life fun. Now, I have so many, as a business consultant, I have so many people who come to me and they say, Sharifa, social media doesn't work. I've been on social media. I haven't made one sale. I haven't obtained one client. I haven't made, you know, had one customer, and it's because social media just simply doesn't work. And so I always say, okay, well, let me take a look at your social media. So I take a look at their social media. It could be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is. And between all their social media platforms, they have roughly 30 followers, right? So it's their mom following them, a couple of cousins, and that's the extent of it. And so I always ask, how do you expect social media to give you the things and the results that you want if you're not putting any time and energy in it? There aren't any followers, there aren't any posts, you know, and maybe they did decide to post once 8 years ago and it's a picture of the sun rising. And I'm like, okay, how does that translate into discussing your business on social media? Am I wrong? Do you have the same experience? What are your thoughts, Sophie?
All the time. I mean, honestly, that's how I ended up getting more into branding, because, you know, social media clients would come to me and say, hey, you know, nothing's working for me. I need to increase my sales. I need to do this. I need to do that. And I'd look at their page. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm not touching you until you do your branding. I mean, you know, and I'd be very clear with them, transparent, and say, you know, I'm not trying to sell you here. Like, I'm not saying you have to do your branding with me, but for the love of God, like, I'm not touching that until you sort yourself out, because it looks like a hot mess. Like, I just refuse point blank to work with people like that. It's a nightmare. They're just all over the place. But yeah, it is difficult. But the problem is, you know, I just launched businessownersociety.com during COVID with my business partner, Jackie Napola, who's probably watching somewhere.
Hey, Jack.
Jackie. and she, you know, she and I do a lot of stuff for business owners, and we actually want to change that whole industry. You know, we're actually taking on the marketing industry, because if you notice, the people that are kind of big in the game, they're purposely using very complicated language to confuse people into kind of paying, you know, these extortionate prices. I mean, I get it too. You know, I get marketing companies coming to me saying, okay, so we'll start you off at $3,000-$4,000 a month retainer, plus whatever you're going to do on ad spend. What? But what are you actually doing for that $3,000-$4,000 retainer? You know what I mean? Like, you're not doing anything that I can't do for myself. So Jackie and I wanted to kind of, you know, change that misconception and actually show these business owners in our private little community how they can actually implement those marketing tactics. And, you know, I did a lot of pro bono for that during COVID, which has seen me win a few awards. I got 2 Hermes creatives yesterday, just purely because, you know, marketing doesn't have to be expensive, you know, like another video that I created just for fun for a local salon here in Fort Lauderdale. It had zero budget. We spent nothing, but it was silly, whatever. It went viral. It got 150,000 views online within 24 hours. And that was just to prove my point, you know, like, you don't need to spend a fortune. These people that are, you know, usually selling a course in a Ferrari that they don't own, don't buy into it. Oh, I was about to drop a bad word, but I remembered we're live. See, self-control on a Friday.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. We've discussed tequila and cricket so far, so I don't know how much control we have, but I want to come back to you, Sophie. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. We're going to talk a little bit about branding because I definitely love her backdrop, her image, and the fact that she is so professional. It's just gorgeous. Oh, I want to tell you, Sophie, before we go over there, I still need that wake up, say a prayer, and hustle. You mentioned hustle like five times, and that's my thing. Like, you have to hustle. So wherever you got that from, I don't care if it's 30 years ago, I need you to go back and get another one for me.
Okay, I'm gonna go to Austin, Texas then.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I
No
appreciate that. I
problem.
appreciate that. But our next guest, she works in pairing traditional medicine with holistic medicine as a thought leader, Cheryl Ivanoski. Good morning, Cheryl. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. And thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here with y'all.
You are welcome. Achieve a life of more. I think that just says it all. Achieve a life of more. I think we always get caught up in the status quo, just being comfortable. One of the things that I always say, if you know anyone who is successful, the one of the traits that they have is they're never satisfied. Never satisfied. They always want more. So what made you decide to make that a part of your brand?
Well, I'll tell you, like you were saying, how you can feel unsettled, maybe not sleeping at night like how you want to, and there's that gnawingness within you, and you know that there's more beyond what you're doing or how you're being or what you have in your life. And it's okay. I mean, you're probably doing well, and yet it's just not resonating the way you want it to. And so for me, I really had a big wake-up call. At the age of 30. And although I was doing very well in life and had my own business and training doctors and their teams in preventive medicine and doing lots of coaching at the time, I was go, go, go and do. And one of the biggest things that came up for me was my own self-care and looking at some of the practices or best self-care practices that I didn't make time for, that I could have made time for in order to have a life of more. And so at 30, I had a very big wake-up call. I was a keynote speaking at a conference, at an annual general conference. And as I was finishing my keynote talk, just at the very end, the last minute and a half or so, my tongue froze. I had the cold sweats everywhere, and my knees buckled from under me, and I fell to the floor. And days later, I wake up in the hospital, not even knowing that I had fallen into a comatose state. And so at that point, that grabs your attention, and you need to look at how you're doing things and how you're exhausting yourself. And as a result, I learned that not one but two organs blew out permanently. So I wear a medical device, a life-giving device to keep me alive every day. And when you go through something like that, it really changes up your thinking of how you're approaching your life. And I looked around me and saw all the limitations and how I was keeping myself in a box. And I could see that as I was heightening my awareness, I could see how other people had done that. So I spent much time interviewing and doing a lot of self-reflection, and then got to break out of those limitations for myself and then really listening to that inner voice. You can be motivated, meaning like you push yourself to do things, and then you can be called to do things. Like there's an ease in it because it's like a calling, it feels effortless. So, when achieving a life of more, I really look at what self-empowerment means and what that means to fuel your body, mind, and soul. So, that's an experience that really shifted my paradigm and really opened up other great possibilities. And so, fast forward 25 years from that experience, and I'm really enjoying helping other people go beyond the limits that they set for themselves with holistic lifestyle wellness practices. So that's really about achieving a life of more. What does it take to get there? What does it take to be there? And what is it that is right for you, for each person?
I think that's beautiful. I think that's wonderful. And you fast forwarded 25 years, and I want to rewind 25 years and
Okay.
go back to when you that day got out of the hospital, you're at home, What I've seen is oftentimes when people have experiences that are life changing, they often want to sit in the bed. You know, I don't want to get up again. I don't want to get on a stage again because of what happened the last time. There's this fear of going back to that life, not being able to maintain it, or understanding that it may happen all over again. How did you go from maybe feeling something like that to getting back on stage and getting back out there and speaking to people about how they achieve a life?
You know, thank you so much for asking. I'll tell you, mindset is, and having a really self-centered determination. And that's really important. And thank goodness I come from a family of very determined individuals. So I think I can thank them for some of that. But I'll tell you something. I think there's people who look at things as opportunities or obstacles. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at things in the space of limitation, we bind ourselves as slaves to that limitation. And I knew with my diagnosis, and I knew what future that was given to me, that there was absolutely zero conversation to be had. There was no option. I didn't have a time to be a victim. I had a time to explore what else was possible that medicine couldn't offer. And I was going to go out there and figure it out. So that really fueled a fire, a passion fire in me that was already there, but like it just kind of exploded it. So it's kind of like, I don't know with any of our guests here, when someone challenges you or something challenges you, does that make you shy away, or does it make you stand up and say, you know what? Well, this is an opportunity that we're going to go through. I'm not going to go around it or under it. I'm going to go through it and I'm going to figure it out. So it kind of added that additional determination. Is that true for anyone here as well?
Shelby?
For sure. 100% could not agree. Very well said, by the way. Very well said.
Well, thank you. And so I'm just, you know, I'm not about excuses. I'm not about, oh, what about me? Or why did this happen to me? What I need to look at is, who am I being for myself? And how does that show up for other people? And who else can I be about this? And what else can I explore? And even if I don't know what that is, I will go out there and I'll ask a million questions and things will start coming to me. And that's just what you do. You know, you're determined, you believe in yourself, and you heighten your awareness so that that scale, if it's a bank account, and then if you're deficient in the bank account, you want to use every experience as a milestone and a stepping stone for progress. And for, I think we're all here on earth to advance forward and to thrive. I don't think we're here to be minimized. And I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt who said, you know, there's no one else who can, you know, influence our you know, abilities, and no one can make us feel inferior, without our own consent. So why would we give ourselves that own consent? Forget that. No time for that.
No time for that. And I think that's powerful. And I love when people share their personal stories, because when I'm working with business owners or entrepreneurs and they mention the word can't, I can't do it, Sharifa, because of this. I can't do it because of that. You know, I have this illness. I have this setback. I was born in poverty. You know, I've been sexually abused, whatever it is. I can go to a guest, if not multiple guests on different shows, and say, well, take a look at Cheryl. Cheryl had this experience. She shared it with the world, but look at where she is now. So I always tell people, I don't care what your situation is. You can still live your life, live your dream, live your passion, build your business, whatever it is, because there are millions of people who have done it as well. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, who I'm pretty sure has had some challenges and overcome obstacles as well, Mr. Kofi Kankam, who is the CEO of Admit.me, who helped high school students find post-high school benefits. Good morning, Kofi. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. I'm surviving Hurricane Isaiah. We're on count number 71, hour 71 without power. So that's my obstacle being here today. But I'm excited.
But you're here. That's amazing. Yes. Yes. We've been hearing about the hurricane on my Wednesday show with my co-host Paul Foss. He did the show from his car because of the hurricane. You know, he didn't have electricity in his house. So you're here. I just want to make sure, because we didn't really have a lot of time to chat before him. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, it's Kofi Kankim. Yes, it is.
Okay. I just want to make sure I mess up everyone's name. So tell us a little bit about Admit.me.
Yeah, so Admit.me is a TurboTax for admission. So it helps candidates drive the admissions process on their own, high school to college, college to graduate school, basically trying to address this issue of there not being enough counselors for students. And even when candidates apply to grad school at the average age of 30, you know, usually they have no support. So we're trying to help, you know, do our part to address the issue of people's zip codes basically controlling their educational opportunities. And we're trying to really, it's a huge, massive problem, contributing partially to all this unrest we've seen the last several months. So that's our passion. That's our goal.
So why is it your passion? What led you into this passion, this career?
Oh, I feel like I've lived it. I mean, you know, I'm a first generation American. My parents are from Ghana. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, went to a public school. And, you know, everyone in my high school just went to one or two colleges, basically in the state, Ohio State, schools like that. And, you know, I just didn't have access to huge knowledge about sort of what was outside of the state, what was, you know, my parents didn't really have that understanding. And a woman who was at Harvard College came to my high school on her own accord. We weren't one of those schools they recruited from, and basically knocked down every single opportunity, every single sort of objection I had towards going there. It's not, you know, too much money, I'm not going to be comfortable, et cetera. And to make a long story short, I ended up going there, and I just realized how many opportunities I had, that some of which I probably didn't deserve, but just by nature of going to school like that, and just seeing how so many students, it was kind of their birthright. Their parents went to schools like that. You know, they always knew they were sort of destined for those kinds of opportunities. And I realized there were so many kids back home that, you know, it, not necessarily going to Harvard, but going to sort of any school, to a two-year school, two to a four-year school, they just didn't have people helping them and sort of making sure they didn't make mistakes and really seeding dreams to kind of lift themselves up and get other opportunities. And so from that point on, I was always, you know, obsessed with sort of going home and making sure, you know, visiting schools on my own accord, kind of paying it forward, and making sure that kind of I was doing my part to open up opportunities for all different kinds of people and really help change their lives and their families' lives. And, you know, at some point just sort of realized I was tired of working in big corporate America, feeling like, kind of like what Cheryl was saying, feeling like I wasn't making enough of an impact. I wasn't kind of honoring my parents' legacy in sort of moving to the U.S. in the 60s and not knowing, you know, there was obviously civil unrest going on just like now, and just staying here and creating opportunities for the kids. And I felt like I had to do something. And I just felt like my life should be about doing good and doing well. And this was the idea I had. I was already doing it. And I linked up with a partner. I said, let's build a platform. Let's build a company that helps students do this. And we kind of will do it for free for the students. And we'll charge schools and employers and other kinds of companies to get access to these kids. So, and it's worked out thus far.
What have you seen during this global pandemic? Every business, and I always talk about when this happened in March, the question was, has your business been affected by COVID? Now by August, we all know that every business, every consultant, every entrepreneur in some form or fashion has been affected by COVID. We had to pivot our businesses. There were brick and mortar companies who all of a sudden realized they had to have an e-commerce virtual platform. There were people who were doing events remotely, a lot of offline networking, and all of a sudden we had to pivot to do everything via Zoom or remotely. What are some of the things that you saw within your industry? Doesn't necessarily have to be your business, but maybe it's just simply an education during this quarantine.
Yeah, it's been so much. So I'd say sort of on the candidate side, there's been a lot of question for applicants and their families. Does it make sense to go to school? Do I want to pay for a four-year school or a graduate degree if I'm going to be doing it remotely? You know, how do I find these schools? Because I can't go to these, you know, college tours or grad school tours in order to do that. And on the candidate, on the school side, which has been really interesting, schools, universities, even high schools, but universities, that's really sort of the market we sell to. they've had a lot of trouble justifying their cost. They really rely a lot on in-person events. Similar to when we all were kids, they're still recruiting in that same way. And you know, they basically have tried to figure out how do we find students, you know, how do we find kind of where they are online? And most universities are not good at that. I'd say that a lot of schools now, which you'll be seeing in the future, which we've sort of, we've gotten wind of, is that schools are gonna look to break up their curriculum from being sort of 4-year or even 2-3-year degrees to basically more certificate programs. So they can sort of work with candidates remotely, and they can basically train candidates in certain skills that don't require a 4-year degree. That allows schools to kind of, you know, to expand their market and not just worry about, you know, the 30,000 people on campus, but now they can reach out to 50, 100, 200,000 people working remotely, picking up certain skills, and then basically being employed. So there's a huge amount of disruption. You're seeing schools partner with technology companies like Facebook, you know, bringing school to you, Google bringing school to you. There's a real big battle amongst all of those companies to work with different universities. And at the same time, the schools are now looking to employers sort of saying, look, we can't create these programs if you're not gonna hire these students. A lot of you talk about wanting people that have certain skills and degrees being irrelevant or being obsolete. We need to see you do that. We need to see basically hire this person that's picked up X, Y, and Z skill online and give them the same shot you give someone that's got a more typical traditional 4-year degree. In our business, it's actually been, there's been good tailwinds. You know, there's a saying, never let a good crisis go to waste. And, you know, for us, it's been true because a lot of schools now are saying, we want to work with outside companies that can help get, you know, introduce us to different prospects. And a lot of the prospects are coming to us and sort of saying, help us navigate, you know, this new world. Help us determine what schools make sense, what kinds of educational options make sense, et cetera. So it's been, I mean, I think we've ever worked harder. And, you know, it's been kind of what I want in terms of starting a company, in terms of being, I wake up every day really challenged. Like, I don't have a lot of the answers I thought I had, and it's been kind of exciting to figure that out.
It's always exciting to start something new. Like, I'm starting this new venture with Shelby, right? We're taking this cricket business global. So we need to make sure that we have chefs that are able to cook the crickets. We have to make sure that we have culinary artists and teachers and professors who are able to teach the students how to cook. What else we need, Shelby?
I will take that. I will take a international distributor.
International distributor.
Yes, I will take. I need one of those. I need a full-time graphic designer. That would also be helpful.
Graphic designer. Okay, so we need to partner. Shelby and I, we need to partner with the education system so that we can bring this new enlightening information to the masses. Is that something that we can do with your organization?
Yeah, no, we have a lot of partnerships. I mean, I know you're halfway kidding, but yes. I mean, over time, like, we envision ourselves being a place where over time, if you were looking for post high school, you know, educational options, I don't care if it's a 2-year school, 4-year school, HVAC, certificate, I don't care if you're in Beijing, you know, Accra, Ghana, Cleveland, Ohio, New York, et cetera, you come to our site. I think the world is going to look so different educationally in the next 15 to 20 years. I think for a lot of people, they assume, oh, the best path forward, the safest path forward, let me say, is to get a college degree. I think that's going to change a lot. And I think, you know, like our parents, they kind of thought that, you know, go to college, that's kind of a safe route without really giving much thought. Most of them were right. That's not going to be the case in 15, 20 years. And COVID has really just accelerated that. Schools are really in a tailspin. I mean, there's studies that say that, you know, 20 to 30% of kids that put down their deposits to start school this fall are not going to show up on campus. They're just not going to come.
Right. And the world is definitely changing. Right. We have so much. But see, I want to not only bring, you know, like I halfway joking with Shelby, but I really want to bring information. One of the things I like about Cheryl is, and I didn't mention this earlier, is I was laid off 8 times. And I was laid off for the 8th time in March of 2018. And after that, for the last 2 years, I went on this holistic journey, right? Where I saw every tarot reader, every channeler, every medium, every speaker, every coach that is, if they were in Southern California, they know the name Sharifa Hardy. But I would love to be able to bring more of this information, this holistic information to the masses. Cheryl, are you in agreement? What are your thoughts? Because we touched briefly on your belief in holistic healing.
No, 100,000,000%. And, you know, my background is in education and training doctors and their teams. But one thing that I would really like to share with your audience is when you go through a life-altering and life-changing experience, that can affect everyone differently. But when it comes to holistic, and holistic, you know, people can have different thoughts about that. So I'd just like to take a minute to share how I define that, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So for me, I look at combining the best of tradition, and I look at all of the natural and complementary therapies and practices, and I look at truly putting them together for an integrative approach to overall wellness. And I also believe that that includes mind, body, soul. So when I'm looking at that, I mean, I praise traditional medicine because it keeps me alive. And, you know, I require a medical device with that, I can show you here, that delivers insulin to me to keep me alive. And so that's really great. And I'm grateful. And on the other side of that, with knowing what the future is for the world's largest pandemic, which is diabetes, I believe we need to look at the enriched holistic approach of all the prevention and proactivity that we can exercise, and looking at how we're fueling our bodies, our minds, and the actions that we're taking every day to support that. So with education, as you were saying, and looking at a holistic approach, I completely believe in being connected to your higher self, your inner self. And I also believe that all of the complementary and natural practices and getting back to Mother Earth, including crickets, and including what's in the best interest of your body is where it's at. So when it comes to education, I am with you, sister. I'm totally there. And I offer, and I'm a coach in the area of holistic diabetes solutions, as well as self-empowerment, and have an academy. So I need to talk to you about training and getting training programs out there on different platforms, because we actually produce holistic diabetes practitioners. Yeah.
Sure. To me? Is that to me?
That's to you.
Yes. Yes, I'm writing this down. Yeah, no doubt.
Yes. So then, see, we have the school, we have the education. All of a sudden, you're going to turn on television and all you're going to see is crickets, right? See, Shelby, we pushing these crickets out there. When it takes over the globe, I'll be like, you know what? The Roundtable Talk Show was a part of the change.
Exactly.
Well, Shelby, can I ask Shelby a question?
Absolutely.
Shelby, with crickets, and I was reading a little bit on this, is there a cricket flower that's a product that you're looking at? Because that would be something that could resonate with my, in my area.
Yes. So, yes, but with an asterisk, I guess. So I've spoken with my state regulators. Technically, I'm not allowed to call it flower, kind of like, like almond milk and oat milk, like those aren't really milk. So they have told me that I need to call it powder. So I call it 100% cricket powder. And yes, from a holistic standpoint of what you can use it as an ingredient, you can mix it in smoothies, you can bake with it. It's 64% protein. So it's double the protein of beef. It has more iron than spinach, more calcium than milk. It's a good source of vitamin B12. It has omega-6s and omega-3s. And while most people don't think about it, but we had the conversation about it earlier, being in the same family as shrimp and lobster, crickets are animals. So they have all 9 essential amino acids in a bioavailable form. So, and amino acids are important, the essential ones in particular, because amino acids are what make up proteins. And they're called essential because your body can't make them. And so you need to take them in via food. So it's very interesting. The other cool thing, it's an interesting application for gastric bypass patients who struggle to get protein in. You know, oftentimes they get subscribed whey by their registered dietitian. But it's something like 60 or 70% of the world population has a lactose intolerance, depending on where your ancestry comes from. So cricket powder, shellfish allergies are a lot less common. So cricket powder is an interesting alternative to whey that can go into smoothies, with the added benefit of there is actually fiber in it as well. So prebiotic fiber comes in cricket powder too. So
that's all powerful, powerful stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Sophie, did you take notes?
I did.
Okay, because you got to make sure you're...
Stuff. I like hearing new stuff because it's such a, you know, when you work in business, like especially with social media and branding, I see the same thing over and over again. So when there's like something new and something exciting, something that, you know, people are not going to be open to, that's like a blank canvas for me, like to kind of, you know, create strategies for that. So I'm all about that.
Right. That's been bringing you on board. You're part of the partnership too. We got to get the crickets out there. So what do we need to do from a branding perspective to change the image of crickets?
Cool. I mean, honestly, that's where kind of viral videos become your best friend. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Poo-Pourri adverts.
I am not.
They are, so they had, obviously it's this spray that you use for, you know, the restroom, and they kind of, you know.
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, right? So they use these real kind of world problems, whatever, but in a really funny way. So I would say with something like that, you know, you can almost have a little fun with it and do a kind of, you know, spoof of, what's that program? I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here.
Or Naked and Afraid.
Yeah, exactly. Where you do like a challenge like that, you know, or take inspiration from Mama, either you love it or you hate it. You know, those kind of adverts, which are just not cheesy, just having fun with it and kind of very transparent. Like, I think viral videos could be really popular with that. You know, people have major morbid curiosity, myself included.
Yeah. Now I was just thinking, my kid, you know, I have a 6-year-old son. I have a daughter too. My son is willing to try any kind of food. My wife, not so much, but I just feel like kids would try that. I mean, we've trapped some crickets in our house, around our house. So, we hear them at night, obviously. So yeah, I think something with kids, and I mean, obviously it's not my domain, but I was thinking, I'm like, oh, I wonder if my kid ate it, he'd probably get his friends to eat it. And at some point it would make its way, you know, onto, into our house, into our refrigerator, if they're refrigerated, and we probably would all have to try it and just be dared to not try it. So.
And so that is why my tagline is dare to eat differently, because right, it does kind of, it dares you to do it.
I like that. Dare to eat differently. But what Kofi was saying reminds me of that old Mikeya Eat It commercial. You know what I mean? I forgot who the brand was, but I remember the line, Mikeya Eat It. Yeah. Like, Mikeya Eat Anything. You put it in front of Mikey and he loved it. You know what I mean? So what we're going to do, we've done a lot on this one show. We've partnered with Shelby for the crickets. We've hired Sophie for branding. Cheryl is going to take the cricket flour. I can't call it flour. What was I supposed to call it?
Powder.
Powder. I apologize. The cricket powder to next level. Kofi is going to educate the world on it, and we're going to get it out there. Shelby, does that work for you?
Sounds like a good plan to me.
We've solved all your problems, so we're going to go solve some of Kofi's problems, because we're about to make his 6-year-old into a superstar. Right? So we're going to go over there to Coffee's house. We're going to have his little son eat the cricket. We're going to make it into a viral video, and we're going to share it with the world. That's our plan. That's how we're going to get it out there. That's what we do here at the Roundtable Talk Show. Anybody else have any other problems?
I have a lot of
Shelby, problems. We're going to do some testing. We're going to do some testing with some test groups with some of my people with both type 1 and type 2 and pre-diabetes. And we're going to see the impact it can have in preventing and reversing that.
Yeah.
And we're going to see what power punch that can have with that whole thing. And so you can bring it to the world, social media.
You ready, Sophie?
Virals.
Yes. So you said you had another problem for us to solve. We got to solve it in like 5 minutes.
Mine?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, yeah. So I was saying I have a lot of problems. None of them are business.
That's okay. This is what I always tell people, because sometimes when I come to do the show at 7:45 in the morning, there's a lot going on in my personal life. So I'm like, cool, I have five people I can have therapy with. So I have therapy sessions, and I'm like, you know what, Sophie, I'm having this problem. I want to start dating. It's a global quarantine. I can't even go out on a date. I need ideas on how to find a man. See, this is therapy. Sophie, you gonna solve my problem?
I mean, honestly, okay, so I can tell you, I hope my little crush isn't watching, because that would be, you know, but there is, honestly, I saw a meme about it this week. There is actually kind of a movement, like, basically you're screwed, Brad, because now you actually have to go back to courting women again, which is something, particularly in South Florida. You know, I'm European, I'm open-minded, but I was shocked to see the dating scene in South Florida. I mean, there's just no respect. You know, there's people ghosting each other. It's an ordeal. So I kind of started talking to someone maybe like 5 weeks ago now or something. So we kind of had to really get to know each other for a long time before we could finally meet, you know, because being careful around Corona and everything. So it could actually be a better time to meet someone. I mean, I'm just one of those people that I'm always going to look for the, you know, the positive and everything and the silver lining. You know, so there is definitely some people out there, but I mean, online dating, it's an adventure. That's for sure. You're going to meet some characters.
I know, but it's different. I mean, online dating pre-COVID is so different than online dating during COVID, because I love what you said about the whole courting thing. People don't court anymore in 2020, yeah. 2019, all this time, you know, but at least you had the ability to go out on a date. You could go to the beach. Like, I live in Long Beach. I'm walking distance from the beach, but yet the beach is closed. You know, you like to meet out in public. Now public is closed. So what do? Shelby, Cheryl, Kofi, y'all gonna help me? I need therapy. I need somebody.
So, you know, it's funny. My wife always tells me, you were so lucky you're so lucky you met me, period.
I like your wife.
But definitely you're so lucky you met me before the online thing happened. We've been married for about 13 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
I'm holding on. Thank you. I'm holding on. You know, I kind of agree with Sophie in some respects, that I think for, like, I have friends that are dating now, and they actually are not acting like Neanderthals. You know, they're actually, you know, meeting women and talking to them and getting to, and actually being sort of attracted to their personality first, you know, and sort of really focusing on what I consider to be sort of the foundation of a good relationship, in terms of, you know, do you laugh? You know, do you have a good time? Can you relate? Can you talk? Is she sort of, are you guys sort of intellectually stimulated, as opposed to just, you know, the sort of visceral physical attraction thing? You know, it happens when you meet in person. So, but I don't have much more advice than that, because I'm trying to, you know, I've been out of the game so long.
The game doesn't change. Let's ask Robert. We have Robert Solers with us. He's a prolific writer. He's written over 75 articles. I'm pretty sure Robert has an opinion or a view on today's conversation. So Robert, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do. Did we lose Robert? We have Robert muted. I just saw Robert's beautiful face there. I don't even know if Robert can hear me. Robert, can you unmute yourself? Okay. Robert, there you go, Robert. I see you.
Hey.
You're here. How you doing?
Yes, I is.
I see half your face, Robert.
I'm sorry.
I see one eye.
Do what?
I said, I see one eye.
One eye? Okay. I don't have any eyes, to be honest, but I do, or at least they don't work. How's that? But
well, I
got to
see you.
There we go. That's what I did wrong. Okay. I've been in the security field for about 40 years or so. And I got interested in school violence prevention and workplace violence prevention, starting in 1988 with a school violence incident just south of my hometown, St. Joseph, Missouri. A 13-year-old kid walked in to with his dad's 45 to take care of a problem.
Oh, wow.
And didn't do anything with the bully except scare the holy heck out of him. But he did end up shooting his best friend, and then he killed himself in the classroom.
Oh, wow. And that's horrible.
Well, it was, and it really shocked. I mean, nobody in small town, this is just north of Kansas City, and it's a lot of small towns up there, and St. Joe wasn't all that big, about 80,000 people, and it really shocked everybody. I mean, it was nothing but the news for the next couple of days. And then, you know, with all the post office shootings and everything in the 80s, I got interested in doing that. When I went blind in 2003, I decided, well, now's the time that I can start my own business, or I can write. And since I went blind, I've written 4 books, 2 on workplace violence, 1 on school violence prevention, and 1 on customer service. So, and I've been a part of more than a few workplace violence incidents as well. So.
Wow, Robert, that is amazing. I know people who have the ability to see who haven't done half of what you've done. They always make excuses on one day when it gets to, you know, this point or that point, then I'll do it. You put all of those excuses aside and you started to write. That's amazing. Did you ever have any fear or concern that you would be able to do it?
No, I was writing fiction long before that, back in high school. And then in the 80s, I started writing security articles when I got involved with security. Of course, the boss didn't like that too well because I was a know-nothing, no-degreed, lowly peon and didn't think I should know that stuff. And it just progressed from there.
So you got to go talk to Coffee. Coffee has a whole program to help people who, you know, need some post-high school education, get you as a professor or something. You've written 75 different articles at least.
Yeah.
You have room for them, Coffee?
Yes, I mean, of course. I feel very unaccomplished and lazy all of a sudden. So, yeah.
I thought it was just me.
No. Any of y'all that have started a business and you're making it successful, you've done a lot. Absolutely, you've done a lot more than most people will ever even think about doing in their life. So,
So Robert, you gonna help us write an article about crickets?
I don't know about crickets, but I started hearing about people eating crickets probably 25, 30 years ago. Obviously, growing up in the Midwest in Northwest Missouri, I heard a lot about it back then. And then I was in North Dakota for a few years too. So it wasn't all that popular back then, but, you know, the guests now with the cricket powder and that stuff, I can imagine it's probably getting more popular as we go along. Although I never did like chocolate covered ants and that kind of stuff.
Chocolate covered is cheating anyway. So
yeah. Oh, but hey, if I'm going to eat an insect and I know it's there, it's going to have to be covered in chocolate or something. I'm sorry. But I don't normally eat insects of any kind unless they happen to fly into my mouth when I'm outside.
Does that happen often?
I'm sorry?
So does that happen often?
Sometimes it does. It depends on what I'm doing out there. If I'm really a huffing and a puffing, yeah, I've had flies and gnats and, you know, I even had a moth one time smack the corner of my lips, and that kind of put me off to everything. I definitely closed my lips and breathed through my nose, although I could barely breathe that way too.
No, it just reminds me of like what parents say when you get bit by a spider. They'll be like, oh, that's because your skin is so sweet. You know what I mean? Like, it's sweet.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe.
Although I went back from my high school reunion, egad, 6 years ago. And we were down by the river there in Minot, North Dakota. And as it got dark, I was absolutely coated with mosquitoes. But I walked out of there with not a single bite. I don't know how that happened, but I was happy for it anyway.
Sounds like you're someone that I need to spend some time with. You have some adventures going on there. I love it. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. I was grateful we were able to squeeze Robert in there. We had so much of a conversation. But what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. And we're going to start with you, Robert.
Well, basically, workplace and school violence accounts for more than 15 million incidents every year in this country. And the violence includes bullying, harassment, assaults, as well as the media-driven murders that are out there, which is, happens to be all the rage. So if you want to prevent that stuff, my last two books on violence will be able to help you prevent those things with the warning signs that I have in there, as well as the fight, run, and hide method instead of the run, hide, fight. And you can find synopses and the covers on all those at www.dldbooks.com/Robert D. Sollers.
We're definitely going to check it out. I know that's horrible. School incidences, work incidents, they happen all too often here in America. So definitely want to check out your books. Coffee, what do you have for us?
Yeah, it's good. I would say, never let your zip code or what you look like define your opportunities. And it's never too late to invest in yourself, right? And one of the best things you can do is invest in your education, whatever that is. Admit.me is free for that reason. We believe that, we want to remove the friction of people sort of taking that step. We'll charge schools and corporations, but you also can get a free sort of admissions credit score. It's the Admit Me Index, and it'll kind of tell you where you are, give you a snapshot of kind of what you need to work on it, and set you on the path to improving your educational options. So just, take the opportunity to invest in yourself, hopefully with our company, but regardless of what you do, it's never too late to do that. And it's the best investment you make, and education is one of the best things you can do to make that investment. So we'd love to see you on the website.
That's true. Investing in yourself, just like our next guest, Cheryl. Cheryl, what do you have for us?
Well, very similar, and I can't agree more. I think investing in yourself and education is what it's all about. But I think when it comes to investing in yourself, if before January of this year, before COVID-19, when I was doing my polls and my talks and my masterclasses, I would ask people, what do you value most? And they would say their careers, the money, the family. And less than 5% of people would say health. So I'm going to say that our most valuable asset is ourselves and our health, overcoming that adversity and being resilient. So my message that I would love to leave with people today is that when you're looking at health challenges, whatever they are, I happen to be most passionate about diabetes. And so, when you're looking at preventing and reversing those kinds of challenges, I can help. And I really want people to know that they have the power, and I'm here to help them. And I'm here to support everyone with what they're doing too.
Thank you. I think that's wonderful. And they can go to your website at CherylIvanisky.com.
Yeah, they can come to CherylIvanisky.com, and they can also come to HolisticDiabetesSolutions.com. So we have free information every week. So everyone's welcome to come. They can join for free.
Definitely want to check that out. Sophie, what do you have for us?
Well, you never know which way I'm going to go.
I like that. I like that.
I think I would have to say, as a business owner, entrepreneur, like a lot of people have been really negative right now, And I always say there's no time like the present. Like if you had a business that you were going to do it. Like just adapt the strategy. And, like I was saying in the introduction, as a business owner, marketing doesn't have to be crazy expensive. You don't have to be investing hundreds or thousands of dollars. Like there's so many little tricks. Like, I can show you how to convert followers to customers and it will cost you nothing. Like all of this kind of stuff, like it's totally doable. I'm probably going to make a massive enemy of myself for the marketing industry. They're all going to come for me. But, if you are a business owner, go to businessownersociety.com. We have a private group as well that we thought would be super cool. Because, as a business owner, you can't ask certain questions, especially when you're starting out, like, how do I get my first client? You know what I mean? Like, simple questions that would tarnish your personal or, you know, your brand image. So my business partner and I actually created a group where you can ask anything like that. And it's completely inappropriate. So if you are a prude, it's probably not for you. But if you're not, then, you know, you're welcome to join. If you go to the website, then you can sign up really easily.
See, I love the whole, see, you got me at inappropriate. Like, when you said inappropriate, I was like, I gotta join because I gotta see what's so inappropriate about this group. I love it. Shelby, take us on out.
I guess the only thing I have to say is eat bugs. no, and to already maybe ruin the rest of your Friday, the average American accidentally eats between 1 and 2 pounds of insects in the food that they eat already. So you might as well do it by choice. So.
Oh, wow. I don't even know how that works. Like, how do you accidentally eat bugs?
The FDA has standards for the amount of insect parts that you're allowed in every kind of food, because basically, if you think that all of the food is grown somewhere, you know, when you grow things in nature, nature happens, and it's not always economically feasible to separate all of the insects and insect parts. So your favorite chocolate bar, for example, per 100 grams, you're allowed to have up to 60 insect parts per 100 grams. So you're already
eating them. Now you've ruined chocolate for me. You've ruined chocolate. You've ruined shrimps. You've ruined lobster. I don't even know if I want you to come back on my show, Shelby. We solved all your problems, and this is how you treat us. We have a comment from Amy Trout Hughes, who says, very interesting panel today. I will be reaching out to admit.me for more information. Thanks for all the inspiration. So I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. Thank you for all of your inspiration and being so authentic and vulnerable and just having fun with us today. I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching this show from the archives. Even if you didn't catch the live show, you're still important. We still appreciate you, and I'm still going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and share this show. It will still be relevant months from now, years from now, but you'll be able to see how we change the world with crickets and what else has changed in a few years. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asharifa.com. Until Monday morning, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Thank you.